It's all about your health, your wellness. Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Get healthier, get fit, eat better, have a richer quality of life. Health on the go. Staying well with Melanie Cole, MS.
The Affordable Care Act was enacted in March of 2010, and it still seems like the public is largely in the dark for what lays ahead. My guests are Veer Gidwani, he's the CEO and co-founder of Maxwell Health, and Amitabh Chandra, he's professor of public policy at Harvard, John F. Kennedy School of Government. So, Amitabh, I'd like to start with you. If you currently cannot afford health insurance, as millions of Americans today cannot, what will this new Affordable Care Act do for you?
What it does for you is it makes healthcare affordable by giving a lot of people tax credits to purchase health insurance that they can't afford. So if you're really poor and you're earning something like $30,000 a year, you'll be eligible for one of the new plans that will be offered through the Medicaid expansion. If you're earning something like $70,000 or $80,000 a year, but you've got a large family and you can't afford health insurance, then you will be getting tax credits, which allow you to purchase health insurance on one of the new exchanges.
So if you're purchasing health insurance on one of the new exchanges, and suppose you had high blood pressure before, because now this pre-existing condition, this has gone into effect, it's a big deal. So Amitabh, tell us first, how is this changing that health insurance option?
It's supposed to. So under the Affordable Care Act, insurers are not allowed to charge people different premiums on the basis of their health status or their blood pressure or their diabetes, on the basis of their occupation or risk factors. There's only some very limited exceptions, and health status is not one of them. So many of us think that the Affordable Care Act will do a lot to, you know, make it easier for people with pre-existing conditions to get health insurance.
Okay, so Veer, this has, you know, been very controversial, this whole thing going on, and everybody said it's really such a mess. Tell us, as CEO of Maxwell Health, what do you see that this is going to do for the public, good or bad?
Well, I think to Amitabh's point, what it's going to do is set a standard that payers have to be able to reach, providers have to be able to reach, in order to compete in the marketplace, and that raises the bar for all of us, which is, I think, an important next step. But I think what still remains is the ability to sift through the details and still make sense of it. Because despite raising the bar, that doesn't mean that the complexity is necessarily gone. So I think the next challenge we face is making sure that people understand what's available to them, where they can get it, and ultimately guiding them to what is the best choice for them. Unfortunately, it's not as simple as apples to apples comparisons in all cases, and certainly we're trying to bring more simplicity to that. But I think there's more opportunity to provide clarity for people on a day-to-day basis.
And Amitabh, if people work for someone who doesn't have a plan, how does this affect them?
Well, they'll be one of the people who will have to purchase health insurance on one of the new exchanges, and how well they're able to make that choice of plan selection remains to be seen. The wonderful thing about the exchange is that people can go out there, this would be just like going out to, you know, a big shopping market, look at lots and lots of plans and say, this is the one that's right for me. But most consumers don't know the difference between a deductible. They don't know the difference between a deductible, co-payment, and co-insurance. They don't know what all these plans are going to do to them. And there's a lot of evidence that people, when confronted with a lot of choice, don't make the best decision. So while choice is a good thing, too much choice can actually shut the consumer down. So I'm all in favor of the exchanges, but the evidence, you know, on whether they're actually going to help patients make smart decisions for themselves and their family is still open.
Okay, so now transaction websites and the public exchanges, that's what you're talking about, right? So the individuals are going to have to sort of learn to use these, correct?
That's right. Individuals are going to have to learn to use these both in the public exchange that you mentioned, but also inside companies. You know, inside companies, more and more companies are moving their employees to high deductible plans. And inside the company, people are essentially going to go to a little website, and the website will give you all the different insurance options that you can pick, and you'd have to select. And you want to select these options based on what's best for your family, which means looking at the deductible, looking at the copayments, looking at the coinsurance, asking, what kinds of care do I really value? Do I value first-rate chemotherapy? Do I value, the birth of a new child? Do I value prescription drug coverage? And who are the doctors that I will be able to access in each of these plans? Picking health insurance is very, very complicated, and most of us have had very little experience picking health insurance plans.
Okay, so Veer, what are the insurance companies thinking of when it talks about like rescinding coverage, prohibiting insurance companies from doing that, or eliminating the lifetime limits? What is that doing to you guys, and is that going to raise our rates through the roof, or because it's now, you know, now there's really a bar to be set, it's going to keep those costs low? Because we keep hearing, boy, you're going to get raised up, you're going to get hit hard, they're going to raise you up like 85%, 300%. What is really going to happen?
I think the jury's still out on what's really going to happen, and we're going to find out when the public exchanges go live and when there's evidence of what people actually decide to do in that environment. But regardless of whether it causes massive spikes quickly or minimal spikes over time, the point is that our trajectory of health is towards increasing costs, period. And whether that's fast or slow doesn't take away from the point that we need to move into the opposite direction, where costs are going down, not just stabilizing. And in order to do that, we need to reconfigure how we think of health in many ways. So I've alluded to the idea of more consumer-directed plans, scenarios where you have higher deductibles and lower premiums. The advantages of that are twofold. One is that you reduce how much you spend in terms of premiums, so the costs come down on a month-to-month basis. But at the same time, it's meant to provide a scenario where we take more charge of what we spend in the health system. Today, it's possible to spend $1,000 on an MRI or spend $500 on an MRI in the same city in the same network. And there's no real discernible difference between those two service providers, one of whom is twice the cost of another. So by putting more power into the hands of the consumer, by having them being responsible for more of that deductible, we create a scenario where we demand better price. And unless there's that transparency, we can't actually ask for that better price or at least select the providers who are more cost-effective. And when that starts to happen, we can start to see our costs come under control in a way that's more meaningful. And that's ultimately what's going to help us get prices down. And from our perspective at Maxwell, that's part of what we're trying to do in helping people navigate the care system more efficiently.
So, Amitabh, in the last minute that we have, give us some of the new consumer protections that are kind of coming into place, you know, as far as preventive insurance and preventive, maintenance, wellness, that sort of thing.
Well, there's a lot of consumer protections in the Affordable Care Act. Some would say maybe that they've gone too far in terms of consumer protections. But the first thing is that there is, for the first time, a list of something called essential health benefits. So all insurers have to cover care in 10 categories. For example, you have to cover emergency services, and you have to cover prescription drugs, and you have to cover things like rehabilitative services and devices and preventive care and pediatric services. And so this is terrific because it means that the confused consumer who's never purchased health insurance before now is sort of guaranteed, in some regards at least, that the whatever package is being sold on the exchange does meet some minimal quality standards, which is really, really good. There's also a lot of standardization that's been done. So people are not allowed to simply say, my plan is a gold plan, your plan is a silver plan. Gold now really means something. When you say that a plan is a gold plan, it means something about the degree to which the patient pays out of pocket. There's a lot of innovation that the ACA allows for in the form of wellness. So now an insurance plan can actually pay someone if they were to participate in, say, a smoking cessation program.
So hang on, because we have to take a break now, but we are sorting out the Affordable Care Act for you here, listeners. You're listening to Radio MD. Stay well.